There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I'm 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I'm Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, Davy Crockett. I'm Lee.
Coming to you from the D-Tom Studios in the free state of Florida, sponsored by Maker's Mark Bourbon. This is Don't Tread on America. I'm your host, Don Q. Let's go. Come on. All right. How's everybody doing out there today? It is Thursday, April 11, 2024. How y'all doing today? All right, guys. I got to jump into this real quick. We got to get this show rolling. It is my time where I'm recording right now. It's 4:15, and Daddy's got to go to bed in a little while, so we got to make this show a quick one. 1 hour later. But anyway, I do have a few things I want to talk about. And before we get to all those, I haven't come up with a title. You know how I do. I kind of title on the fly. But we got a couple of different subjects, and I do have some breaking news that broke a little bit earlier today. You may or may not know about it, and I'm going to assume that you don't, and I'm going to talk about it anyway. So how's that sound? All right, cool. So before we get into all that, guys, please make sure you follow us on social media at Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker. And you TikToks, you know, I mainly just do drink videos. Today I'm drinking some ice-cold Zephyr Hills water because, you know, I'm trying to cut back on the drinking so much. Not that I'm like an alcoholic and I'm drinking every day or getting drunk every day. I might have a drink. But, you know, I'm trying to get a little more healthier and have a drink every now and again if I'm stressed out for the day or whatever, mainly pushing it to the weekend. So with that being said, when I do the show for Sunday, which I'll probably actually record on Saturday, I will more than likely have a drink in my hand, just to let you know. Anyway, don't forget, we're also on the Twitter X machine at dtom_1775, and you can email me directly to me, and I will see it, and it's great, and it's Don Q at Don't Tread on America. And .com, I guess I should say. And then don't forget about the website, don'ttreadamerica.com. From all of those situations, you can reach me directly. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, whatever, anything going on y'all's neck of the woods, send it my way and we can have a chit-chat. Other than that, guys, please make sure you check out our sponsors. We got the D-Tom Show, D-Tom Store, I should say. And the link is on the podcast app in which you're listening to this on. And like I told you guys before, proceeds from that will go to my pocket. No, they will go to Tunnels to Towers. Just something I want to do just for personal reasons. So, you know, if you guys want to be a part of that, please go to the store, buy something, and help me help them. And speaking of podcast app, guys, whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, please make sure you're following the show. You subscribe, whatever the button is there. It doesn't cost you a penny. If you're on Apple or Spotify, if you could please leave a rating, that helps more than you realize. And then share this with your friends, okay? And don't forget about our other sponsor, Reaper Apparel Company. You can check them out at reaperapparelco.com. Use promo code DTOM to get 10% off your order. Beautiful t-shirts. I got some hats. I had a hat up there. I don't know where it went. Some bitch. Someone stole my hat. Anyway, so check that out. ReaperApparelCo.com, promo code DTOM. All right, guys. So I'm going to be all over the road today. So enjoy the ride, I guess, is how we're going to go with this. So, you know, Trump the other day calls for House Republicans to kill the FISA Act update. So I guess every so often this bill has to be reevaluated. And yesterday, House conservatives tank the FISA bill in a blow to Speaker Johnson. But I'm going to read this story, but it's not over yet. So let's not get too happy. Let's not celebrate too soon before we do. House conservatives on April 10th tanked a procedural vote to advance the surveillance power reauthorization bill in protest of its lack of warrant requirements. The development is another blow to Speaker Mike Johnson, who already faces an ouster threat from Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene. In a 193-226 vote, lawmakers decided not to advance Rep. Laurel Lee's Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act, which would have extended the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, controversial Section 702 for a period of 5 years. The warrantless surveillance power is due to lapse on April 19th. Although such procedural votes normally advance along party lines, 19 Republicans joined all Democrats to block the bill, employing a tactic increasingly used by GOP factions to apply pressure on leadership. So, what is Section 702, FISA Section 702? So, there was a lot of sections. Okay, let me back up real quick. FISA. Now, over the past, you know, 7-8 years, we've heard that name. You've probably never heard of FISA prior to Trump running for president against Hillary Clinton, legitimately. And I'm not saying that you haven't. I'm just saying that there's a good chance that most of you guys have never heard of FISA prior to 2016. And you're thinking, oh, because it's new. Or if you have heard of FISA, it's always connected with the Patriot Act and 9/11. Okay, well, oddly enough, FISA started, what's it called again? What's the terminology? Where is it at? Is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is actually a bill that was passed in 1978. It's actually what was responsible for kind of nabbing old, Richard Nixon. Now, like most bills or any other bill, as time goes by, it has to be reevaluated, and there's stuff always added to it. Now, most notably was the Patriot Act. Now, when the Patriot Act was added back in 2001, there was a lot of these other little things added to it. Now, I'm going to read the... I'm not going to read. Where's it at? Okay. No? Shit. I thought I had it. I do not have it. Here it is. Let me key that in there real quick. Okay, so what is FISA Section 702? So in 2008, Congress enacted Section 702, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, a critical intelligence collection authority that enables the intelligence community to collect, analyze, and appropriately share foreign intelligence information about national security threats. Section 702 authorizes targeted intelligence collection of specific types of foreign intelligence information, such as information concerning international terrorism or the acquisition of weapons or mass destruction. So it's supposed to only permits the targeting of non-U.S. Persons who are reasonably believed to be located outside the U.S., United States persons, and anyone in the United States may not be targeted under Section 02. Okay. How do I want to phrase this? Why do we give two shits? Okay, if you're not an American citizen, okay, and you live in Iran, whatever, and somehow or another we come across intel that, you know, Ahmad McGillicuddy is talking shit and he wants to bomb New York, whatever. Do we need warrants for that anyway? I mean, do we really need that in a bill? The thing is if Ahmed is talking to Bob Johnson in America, then you can kind of spy on Bob Johnson through the back door type situation. Realistically, if they want to fix anything, they should get rid of the Patriot Act portion also. There's a lot of the rules in the FISA, the whole FISA act, the whole situation that you and I, you don't even know about. You heard the term FISA and you get, oh, a FISA warrant, a FISA this and FISA that. And just in the name itself, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, foreign intelligence. So if you recall, Hillary Clinton and her team, used a FISA warrant to spy on Donald Trump. Well, as far as I know, now granted, they got a warrant and it was approved by a judge and so on and so forth. But besides that, Trump is not a foreign asset. He is an American citizen, right? So how was that even probable? How was that even allowed anyway? Because they made up a story saying that he was doing whatever with the Russians and so on and so forth, and that came to that. So in essence, the whole FISA situation from top to bottom needs to be scrapped, because if we want to surveil foreign adversaries, or friendlies for that matter, then who gives a shit? Because they do it. Why do we need all this stuff? Because the structure of these bills target Americans just as much as it targets foreign nationals. It's not about warrants and non-warrants. It's all bullshit is what it is, because they can say whatever they want. In all actuality, you had Republican presidents, Democratic presidents sign off. I mean, this was Bush's baby, 2001. This was, like I said, just after 9/11. And if I'm not mistaken, this thing gets re-upped every 5 years. Okay, so we're in 2024, right? Which means it expires on the 19th of April, so in a little more than a week from now, so a week from tomorrow. So if that's the case, if it re-ups every 5 years, what happened 5 years ago? What was 2019? And this was before COVID. So that means that Trump, I don't know who was head of the Congress or Senate, if it was Republican ran, Democratic ran, doesn't matter. The point of the matter is it was passed 5 years ago and signed by the president. Now, in all actuality, and the funny thing is if it were a Republic or a democratically ran House or Senate, or yeah, it passed. So now the Democrats aren't voting for it. You know, it's weird. It's weird how this stuff works. It's like whoever the president is, if you own the House, you're going to get it passed. If you don't, you won't. But, you know, in all honesty, Trump, not for nothing, I saw this tweet from RFK. Trump could have killed this thing 5 years ago. So you, and it's really like, I really believe that Trump has to be in place to help this country. I really believe that. I really want to believe that, I guess is a better way to put that. I could be way wrong. We could all be way wrong. But I know Biden's not the answer. But I also know that if Trump had the opportunity to kill a bill that was used against him, then why didn't he do it? Now he wants to make it an issue. And that's interesting. It's interesting. Now, the fact that you had a certain members of the House that voted against it, most of these individuals are what they call MAGA Republicans. So I'm not going to read the list, but you get the point. So what does it all mean? Now, there's a good chance that this will all pass. You won't hear anything about it. And the government's going to keep on doing what the government does. FISA warrant be damned. I guarantee you, with the popularity of podcasts, the popularity slash, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but we're not NBC News. We're not CBS. We're not Fox. We're not, you know, we're not anything like that. And I'm not just talking about me in particular, but shows like this. Now, we've talked about this plenty of times before. I don't have a large following. I'm not, you know, Joe Rogan or Dan Bongino or anyone like that. But I personally believe the stuff I talk about is a lot more important than what a lot of these guys talk about, mainly because I'll push it to another limit, whereas these guys are beholden to certain levels for whatever reason. I get it. This is their job. That's how they get paid. For me, this is a hobby. It doesn't matter. Now, mind you, I would like to make this a job, but it's not, so it isn't. So I can say things that could be detrimental to the fact, to the truth. And the fact that I might only get, you know, 100, 200 listens on this show is small potatoes. But I guarantee you some of those listens are coming from someone who's a lot more important than any of us, or who they think is more important than any of us. Just to hear what I'm saying. And you've seen situations of people get knock on the door, get people to show up at their house, get letters in the mail. That hasn't happened to me so far. But, I don't know. I guess if all of a sudden I change my tone and stop talking about certain things, I guess you'll know. All right. On to the next one. And this one is something that no one is actually really talking about. And the interesting, actually, hold on, let me back up on the 702 thing real quick. The vote that happened the other day, yesterday, was not a vote on the bill, okay? There was a vote on a resolution that would have allowed FISA, as well as six amendments to it, including warrant requirement amendment and three other pieces of legislation to come to the floor. So this isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. So we have to keep that in mind. But that was it. So now this actually is something that happened like 4 or 5 months ago. Okay. And the reason I'm bringing it up, because I come across this story yesterday when I was getting the show together, and it made it seem like this was breaking news, like this had just happened. And oddly enough, this was back during Thanksgiving. It happened in November, which is probably why no one really talked about it. Now, if you're from the state of New York, you may have heard it. You may not have heard it. And it might have been in passing that you even did hear it. Now, granted, I live in Florida, but, you know, watching Fox News and whatnot, you would think they would talk about it. And I can't recall having heard any other podcast that I listen to, or any news network or anything like that, talk about this. I'm not saying I have the best memory and I remember everything everyone ever says, but something like this, I think, well, I would have remembered. And the title to this particular subject is, speaking of government overreach, we have yet another reason to leave the state of New York. Mind you, I'm not there, so I don't have to worry about it. But a court ruling allows the state to seize citizens for indefinite quarantine and isolation. Now, why is this important? Why am I reading this? Now, like I said, this popped up like it was new. And I think it has something to do with all the talk of, like I told you the other day, how there's a possible pandemic upon us with the avian flu. And is this a reason why this is starting to come to the surface again? So a New York State of Appeals court upheld a ruling allowing state officials to detain individuals for public safety reasons, despite concerns about due process violations. The ruling pertains to State Health Department Rule 2.13, which states challenged, or I'm sorry, that was challenged by Republican lawmakers and a conservative group. The court's decision was based on challengers lacking standing in the case. So, the ruling has sparked criticism and concerns over the government's overreach and the erosion of citizens' rights. The case is set to be appealed to the Court of Appeals. Involuntary detention is a severe deprivation of individual liberty, far more egregious than any health safety measure, such as requiring masks or wearing certain mask wearing at certain venues. So essentially, I think what's interesting about this is this is story starting to come back to light 5 months later, 4.5 months, whatever. And you can't help but wonder if it has anything to do. So I have a personal theory that I want to believe that I'm wrong. I guess I should say it this way. I want to hope that I'm wrong. I want to hope that all of this is just bullshit. It's talk from the right, from the left, from the center, from people like me, people like whoever. And we're just trying to figure everything out. I want to believe that November 5th or whenever it is, we're going to be able to go to the polls. Excuse me. In whatever state you live in, you're going to be able to vote. And it's a done deal. And all we can do is hope that it's not Joe Biden. Let me put it that way. If you don't want to vote for Trump, I guess that's fine. But we've really got to make sure that someone wins and that someone is not Biden. Period. And I'll get to why I believe that in a second. But there is a part of me that believes there could very well be a reason why we don't have an election. Will it be a situation where, oh, we have another pandemic, we got to lock everything down. Oh, we're going to war with Russia or China or whoever, we got to shut everything down. Or we're going to war with ourselves, we got to shut everything down. Like I said, I hope I'm way wrong on all of that and that we have elections and it is what it is. But when you start seeing stuff like this, now granted, this is one state. It's not like the Supreme Court ruled that this was perfectly legal in all 50 states. But if it's one state, when will it be another? Like, I don't see. I tell you, sorry, it's too late. It was raining and shit earlier. I didn't want to start doing this and then lose power. But sorry. It's very professional of me sitting here yawning. But I'm not saying like Texas or Florida or states like that will do this, but I can see a lot of other states doing it. So we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. But keep your eyes open. All right. On to the next story. All right. Bidenflation is back in the news, as if you didn't know. So this is Mr. President Poopy Pants. I think this was yesterday. Yeah, this was yesterday.
But look, we have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. But look, we have...
So when he took office, inflation was at 1.4%. And we are currently at 3.5, but in all actuality, it's like 19.5% over the 3+ years that he's been in office. So the average of during Trump's presidency, the average of inflation was 1.6%, if I'm not mistaken. So where was the skyrocketing inflation? Other than your first year when you were president and it went up to like fucking 9% and maintained that into the next year. And even though it's quote unquote lower at 3.5, it's still 3.5% higher than the 8% it was last year over the 9% it was the year before. But so Biden This is from the New York Post. Biden pays the price for causing runaway inflation as Americans are buried in bills. And it's interesting that this comes out a day after he did his whole, we want to give the kids free school. Or not give the kids free school, but pay off the student loans. Because most of our problems with inflation is government spending. Now, you'll probably hear a ton of clips, and you've probably heard a ton of clips that say where he's lowered the deficit, or he's lowered the debt, or he's lowered this, or he's lowered, he didn't lower shit. We're already, this fiscal year, 2024, this fiscal year, we are already $1 trillion added to the deficit, which means probably by the end of this year, it'll be $2 trillion, if not more. And that's just based on the spending that we're doing. That doesn't count if he's able to pay off these student loans, if we give more money to Israel or to Ukraine or to whoever else. One of the main culprits to all this is him and the spending. So I'm going to read the story as it's written. The Biden re-election victory parade hit a pothole the size of Ohio on Wednesday. The latest consumer price data shows inflation is accelerating and hitting an annual rate of almost 5%. Democrats fear the inflation rate could soon be higher than the president's approval rating. Yuck, yuck. In January 22, according to the story, I predicted that the inflation would politically bankrupt Biden, that it would be the wrecking ball that would politically destroy Biden. According to Team Biden's storyline, inflation went from a non-existent threat in 21 to a transient in 22 to simply a bad memory in 24. But along the way, the purchasing power of the American dollar has fallen by almost 20%. So the interesting part about it, so I'm not going to read this because I actually have the clip. This was Representative Jim Clyburn. He was on MSNBC Wednesday morning. My freaking ankle's killing me. And let me see if I can find it real quick because I know I haven't. Where's that? Here it is. And I'm going to play this clip. Now, the interesting thing about this is they try to spin the quote-unquote rights interpretation of Bidenflation or whatever as disinformation. Now, in this clip, the only disinformation I'm hearing is from them because, well, just listen to the clip. You'll get the idea.
Let's
at the
talk
back
about
end.
Some of the real warning signs that I heard for the Biden campaign, Congressman. And that was that these undecided voters polled and then in this focus group showing that they are really suffering when it comes to interest rates, trying to buy a home, looking at their own personal economies, and they're feeling like they're being gaslit. They're feeling Joe Biden isn't accountable. What's your response to that, and how can the campaign address these feelings?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. I think that we have to focus on people's everyday lives. And 401ks are not about people's everyday lives. And I do believe, just from my own observations, from the conversations I've had with people, there are concern about things like inflation. But what we've got to get them to see is that inflation today is about 40% of what it was when Joe Biden took office. And so the inflation rates are down and people's incomes are up. Unemployment is on the decrease. And although we see the prices at the stores costing more money, people are, in fact, earning greater incomes. So what we've got to do is make sure that people see the policies of the Biden administration, how they affect their everyday lives, and get them to see in his policies that which is real. Not what they may hear on social media. One of the focus group people talked about social media and the misrepresentation, disinformation. All of those things are out there, and that's the battle that we have to fight, and we've got to do a better job of fighting it more effectively.
Now here comes the swerve.
So I'll validate that. I think the disinformation out there is distorting the entire process.
Mike, from you guys.
Social media doesn't help. But there's also a lack of validation that these voters feel. And I'm going to bring in Andrew Ross Sorkin right now because we just got breaking news. The consumer price index increased at a faster than expected pace last month, a signal that inflation remains stubbornly high. Let's bring in Andrew, co-anchor of CNBC Squawk Box. What will this mean to people in their everyday lives?
Well, I think this was a big surprise. It is accelerating. And, you know, we've been on this broadcast for months now about how the trend line was in President Biden's favor. Today, I imagine they're throwing a party in Mar-a-Lago because the truth is that right now, inflation has now moved in the opposite direction. So it's going to be harder for the administration to make the argument around this inflation trend line. What it means, and you're seeing it in the markets just right now, is that frankly, mortgage rates are not going to be coming down. Credit card rates are not going to be coming down. There had been this view that the Federal Reserve might cut interest rates as early as June. There was an expectation of 3 interest rate cuts. Now that's getting pushed off again. You're seeing treasuries move up in price. The stock market has moved down on this news today. And as I said, it has been a shock and I think a surprise for many just how hot this number has turned out to be. And it surprised me, too.
So everything that Rep. Claiborne said is a fucking lie, because most people, did you get a 5% pay raise or better this year, this past year? You know, because it's usually a lot of your companies, the beginning of the new year, the first quarter at least, is when they do their annual reviews and stuff like that, generally speaking. Now, if you didn't get better than a 5% pay raise, you're not making any money because you're paying more in bills, whether it be gas, rent, possibly your mortgage, your insurance, on top of food and everything else. That's why things like, you could look at your paycheck and think, damn, I'm actually making pretty good money. I'm making more money, you know, I'm set to make more money this year than I've made ever. Why do I still feel broke? Well, because you're spending, you know, $8 on a 12-pack of soda or 7 bucks on a bag of potato chips or, you know, chickens, you know, $5 a pound or whatever it is. And it's like, where am I saving any money? So essentially the way it breaks down is this. So since, I think these numbers are since Biden's been in office, eggs are up almost 50%. Gas is up almost 50%, 47.8. Peanut butter. So these are everyday things. Everyone eats eggs. Everyone uses gas. Everyone eats peanut butter, 40%. Flour is up 33%. Butter up 32%. We were looking at butter the other day. I was like, I think we need some butter. I'm like, not at $6.99 we don't. It's like, let me wait and see if that shit goes on sale. You know, do we need it? Well, I still have 2 sticks. Okay, well, that'll give us some time. It's not, we cook every day, so let me wait. But it's up 32%. Salad dressing, 30%. Baby food, 30%. Sugar, 30%. Frozen vegetables, 28%. Steak, 24%. Chicken, 24%. Pet food, 24%. We'll just 23.7%. We'll just round up. Bread, 24%. Cereal, 23%. Milk, 15%. So, did anyone get any type of raise of 20, 30, 40, 50%? No? No? Me neither. So, how in the hell are you saving any money? So, to the point of what people are actually doing, and, you know, fortunately, you know, I haven't had to do this, and hopefully I will never have to do this, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are kind of stuck. You got to feed your family, but I also got to pay the rent or the mortgage. I also got to pay the car payment or the insurance or whatever the case may be, but we need groceries. So you have to figure out, I guess we'll go to the grocery store and I'll use my credit card. So the credit card debt in this country over the past couple of years has skyrocketed. And that just means that what people have done, and here's the crazy thing about credit cards. This is what I hate about our whole our whole financial setup in this country is you have to have a good credit score, financial credit score. Now, I think it's interesting as we talk about like social credit scores and stuff like that, but essentially a financial credit score is sort of the same thing, and it falls in line because if you have a bad credit score, it can affect your car insurance. Obviously, it can affect your borrowing power, but just on your everyday bills, it can affect you. So the thing is about that is you have to have a number of credit cards to give you a high enough credit limit. And then you have to have a good debt to income ratio. Okay, so let's say you have $100,000 in credit card, credit limit. Like you have $100,000 in credit limit, not on one card, but let's say you have 10 cards, 20 cards, whatever you got. Don, 20 credit cards. Yeah, but that's kind of my point. You kind of need to have let me put it this way. I'll give you a little inside baseball. I literally have probably about 20 credit cards. Okay. Now, only one of them has a balance. Any other credit card that I use, and granted, most of them I don't use, but I have like I have actually three at Bank of America. One doesn't have anything on it. One has a little bit on it. And the other one has zero on it. I use it for gas because I get cash back and whatever. And then I pay it off at the end of the month. And I have a couple other credit cards because if you don't use them, you'll get letters from the credit card company. We notice an activity on this credit card. We're going to cancel it. So like what I do is I take I take a couple of my other credit cards and I set up my Google TV on one, or not Google TV, but YouTube TV, same difference. I put my Sirius radio on another one, you know, and they're only like $80 or $26. So I just pay that off when the bill comes. But it's the stupid things you have to do to maintain those credit cards, to maintain that credit limit, and then try not to use those credit cards. Like to the point where I was trying to get my credit score up a little higher. And I really don't have any credit card debt. My cars are paid off. It's not, you know, and it's like, I don't need a credit card. Well, you kind of do. You need something to up your credit limit. So I applied and I got approved for another fucking credit card that's just going to sit in the drawer with the other 15 that are in there. And it's like, why do we have to do this stuff? Because what it really does is it can cause you to find temptation. Now, I keep those credit cards and I don't cut them up because what if I do need it? What if something happens that I do need those credit cards? And I think that's what you see a lot of people falling into that trap, because I guarantee you 3, 4, 5 years ago, there was a lot of people that were doing the same thing. They were working on the credit scores. They were like applying for different credit cards and having a $2,000 limit here, or a $5,000 there, or a $10,000 there, or whatever the case may be. And didn't use the credit cards. Maybe they did the same thing. They had one credit card and that's what they used for like gas or whatever. If they needed tires on the car, those types of things. And then would pay it off as quickly, if not by the end of the month, but as quickly as possible. And then you still have those credit cards, but now you got to buy groceries. You got to buy clothes. You got to buy diapers. You got to buy gas. You got to buy, but it's easy to whip that credit card out and before you know it, throw $2,000-$3,000 on it without even thinking about it. And then that bill comes, you're like, fuck, I don't have that to pay that. You know, if it was $100, maybe $200, okay, but $2,000 or $3,000, you're not paying that off. Because if you had $2,000 or $3,000, you wouldn't be using a credit card to begin with. And that's where our problem lies. Now, I said this on the show the other day. I don't care who, I shouldn't say it like that because I do care who becomes president, but whoever that person is, it's not, there's no way in hell, whether it be Trump or RFKJ, that either one of those guys are going to come in and flip a switch and everything's going to be fixed. And I'm not even worried about RFK because the one thing that does bother me, he hasn't really weighed in on the whole economy situation. I would love to hear what he has to say or what his plans would be. But like with Trump, his whole thing is he's going to come in, drill, baby, drill. We're going to get rid of the illegals and so on and so forth. And those will help the economy, especially where illegals are heavily populating an area. And then obviously if gas drops a $1, $1.50, that'll help. That'll help all of us. But if he comes into office and it's more of the same, where's the blame going to be lied? Now, I was having a conversation with a couple guys at work today, and we were just kind of talking about this. And one of the things that I had said was that what if everything we're seeing, as bad as it feels and as bad as it is actually as good as it's going to get? And what do I mean by that? What if, just hear me out, what if what we're seeing right now is the piece of bubble gum on the dam, on the hole, and the water's still squirting through, and that bubble's blowing? Remember, what was that? Vegas Vacation, right? He puts the gum on it, and water's filling it up. We're there. We're at that bubble. Now, what happens is no matter who the president is come January 20th, that bubble's going to pop. Now, what's going to happen when that bubble pops? Now, I almost kind of feel like that it's a setup, that whoever is able to do this, I'm not saying Biden because I don't think he's got the wits about him to do anything, but whomever, whether it's the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, I don't know. I'm just asking a question. Do you think they're possibly putting a Band-Aid on this situation as best as they can? And one of two things are going to happen. Either we're going to go straight to a Great Depression, which I talked about 3 years ago on this show, that we were setting ourselves up for the next Great Depression. And with that, and one of the guys at work says, well, what if we had deflation? Well, if we had mass deflation, finally, prices are going down. They ain't going to go down without a price. What do you mean, Don? If they go down, there won't be a price. No. If companies, whoever the company is, if you're mass, companies, whatever corporations that are making products from food to cars to whatever else, if they're going to lower the price on stuff, there's going to be a sacrifice for that. And that sacrifice is going to come in of the way of jobs. So, and it's very reminiscent of the Great Depression. If you go back and listen to the show, I literally did the show 3 years ago. So you would see a situation of supply outreaching demand is essentially how it works. And then product is just sitting there. And it's not even that you don't demand chips or soda or food in general. It's that you don't have the money for those things. And then the grocery stores stop getting shopped. And then the product's just sitting there on the shelf. And then it's going out of date. And stores have to throw it away. And then instead of going into your local, grocery store, and there's four or five or six or however many cashiers, there's one. And you understand what I'm saying? It matriculates. And then as the stores don't need as much product, then the warehouses don't need as many people to stock it. And it's a domino effect. And it's almost like, whoever they is in this situation, they don't give a shit about Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's purpose was served. I think that they don't want him to be president. So when he ran on the, I'm just running for one term and that's it. Now he's more recently said, the reason I'm running again is because Trump's running again. If he wasn't running, I wouldn't be running. Okay, whatever. I don't think they want him there. So it's kind of, and that's why I brought up on the last show, is RFK kind of a Democratic, is he the monkey wrench in the situation? Like, maybe they realize it. Maybe Trump can't actually beat Biden, but with someone like RFK in there and the economy being the way it is, there's a lot of people pissed off at Biden that they'll change their votes to RFK, and that'll hurt him as far as that's concerned. Possibly. But I think whoever wins, whether it's Biden, Trump, RFK, whoever that person is, that dam is going to burst, that Band-Aid is going to fall off, something's going to happen, and we're all going to pay the price. Well, Don, why would they do that to Biden? Because they don't give a shit about Biden. I'm telling you right now, they don't care. They just assume the dam busts just as easily with him or with Biden, or with Trump or whoever else, because they don't care. Because if the dam busts and Biden's in there, well, then maybe he'll check himself out. You see what I'm saying? Or with all this student loan crap, and as much as they're saying, well, the Supreme Court's already ruled on this stuff, is that he's not allowed to do it. And if he does it anyway, maybe they impeach him on that. So, I mean, there's ways to fix problems. So just hear me out when I tell you this. I'm not going to tell you to run out and go buy gold and go buy this and go buy that, go buy food. I'm not going to say that because, unfortunately, you can't buy enough food to live the rest of your life. Okay, you can buy a supply and that might get you through a couple weeks and maybe a month. That's all fine and dandy. What I'm talking about happening is crack open a history book and read about the Great Depression. It wasn't a few months. It was a few years. And it was like almost 20 years. And, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, people say, well, Don, it was 39. It was only like 4 or 5 years. Okay. If you look at the crux of it and say it was only 4 or 5 years, that's fine. We can go with that. But it started before the market crash, and it lasted through World War II, so it was really closer to 10 plus years. And not to mention, it took a world war to pull us out of the Great Depression. So no matter how you want to paint the picture, it's going to be ugly. Okay? So there's nothing I can tell you. I don't have the solution to tell you stock up on food or vote for Biden or vote for Trump or vote for RFK, because I don't think it's going to matter. I honestly don't think in the long run, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the way things are trending and inflation still is going up, but these motherfuckers are still spending money. Either they know something that we don't and money is just an optical illusion. They're doing this on purpose for some reason. For some reason or another. And it has nothing to do with Trump or Biden or anyone else winning or losing. It has nothing to do with that. Because the only losers in this whole situation are us. Me, you, and the next person. We're the losers. Because our jobs are probably going to... There's depending on what you do for a living, outside of being a military contractor, there's a good chance that if you own a restaurant, work at a restaurant, own a grocery store, work at a grocery store, supply a grocery store or a Walmart, and that means truck drivers, vendors, you know, whatever, or you make products for, you know, a grocery store or a Walmart. And I'm talking about food or toiletries or, you know, whatever. We're all at risk of really having an issue. And you got to think the population in this country is like, I think it's almost tripled since the Great Depression. And if you crack a history book and read about it, you don't have to crack a history book. You can Google a lot of it and just read up on it. Get the Cliff Notes version. You'll see that that time was very bad for a lot of people. Not a couple of people, not a certain area of people, not black people, not white people, everybody. It was bad for all of us. I am 50 years old, okay? I'm at a point in my life where I'm not looking to retire tomorrow. I mean, unless I hit the lottery or something like that, that's not going to happen. But, you know, I'm getting to that point. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we're trying to get ourselves situated by not having a lot of bills and taking care of things. And when I say we, I'm talking about me and my wife. And if something like this happens in the next year or two and I'm 50, you know, I'll be, say, 51, 52. What am I going to do? I'm not 20, 30 years old where I can, you know, work 5 jobs at, you know, 10 hours a week because that's all they can afford to pay me. So it's bad. It's very bad for all of us. And once again, one of my many predictions that I really hope I'm wrong on, but I just can't imagine. I've never in my life. Now, they said that these numbers were really bad back in 83. Now, I was 10. So when I'm telling you I can never remember this being like this in my life, it probably was when I was younger in the 70s and early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. We know it was a clusterfuck. But it's all relative, and I've said this before, that if you look at the prices back then or the gas prices, whatever, and you equate it today and you think, oh, Jesus Christ, they're stressing over 50-cent gas. That's crazy. Yeah, but when they were only making, like the guy at work, he put it perfectly. Like in, I can't remember the year he said, I think 1970. It was either 60 or 70, but he said the average income was $6,000 a year, but the average house price was 12. Nowadays, the average income is like 50, and the average house is like 400,000. And that's the difference. Like, okay, if you make six and you have to pay twice your income to buy a house, well, it's not so bad. If you make 50 between you and your wife, and you've got to pay eight times that to buy a house, well, that's pretty bad. That's why no one can buy houses. But is that all part of the plan too? I don't know. All I can tell you is this. I don't know who or what the answer is. If there's a savior for us, I think the only thing we can do, in all honesty, and I try not to get too biblical or godly on this show, but lately I know I have been, because I honestly think that's our only answer. We can yell Trump and we can yell Biden and we can yell RFK, but in the grand scheme of things, there's only one person that can help us. And at this rate, whoever your God is, you might want to start praying. So, some breaking news. I'm going to close out the show with this. The breaking news today, you may or may not have heard this, but O.J. Simpson, remember him, right? Juice allegedly killed his wife back in, what was that, 94, 93, whatever it was. He died yesterday. At 76, after a cancer battle, O.J. Simpson, once beloved NFL superstar and Hollywood actor, who was acquitted in 95 murder trial that corrupted the nation, died in his Las Vegas home Wednesday at 76. Simpson, whose fame, fortune, and legacy were forever changed despite being cleared by a Los Angeles jury of killing his ex-wife and her male friend in what was dubbed the trial of the century, had been battling prostate cancer. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. His family announced on social media Thursday he was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. Nicknamed the Juice, Simpson was one of the most popular athletes of the late 1960s and 70s. Now, the interesting thing about this, now mind you, he was 76. He wasn't a kid, okay? Died of cancer. Here is a post that he put on Twitter. Now, this was back in 21, I think it was. 21, 22, somewhere around there. And I'm going to talk about this here on the backside. Just listen to what he had to say.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. It's heard something really interesting today. You know, with 99 or whatever percent of people dying or the unvaccinated from the new COVID stuff, and over 90% of hospitalizations, especially in Florida, are among the unvaccinated. A female doctor was on this morning. She made the best analogy I've heard. She said that being vaccinated is like wearing your seatbelt, that it doesn't guarantee you won't get in an accident, but if you do, you have a much better chance of surviving. Hey, get your shots. I don't like wearing masks. And as you people who aren't getting the shots that has brought this mask thing back, I'm just saying.
So you can't help but wonder how idiotic these people feel. Now, here's the kicker. Now, this was OJ telling everybody to get their COVID shots, just like he did. Now he's dead of cancer, or was it this turbo cancer that a lot of people are talking about from the COVID shots? You've heard that not so much. I'm not saying that the shot is necessarily causing cancer, but it's amplifying cancer, which means this. If you have cancer, okay, now I have cancer, okay, and when all this was going on, who were some of the people they focused on first? People with cancer, people with comorbidities, right? Health, heart problems, lung problems, cancer, those types of things, right? I said, I don't care. I'm not getting the shit. You could suck it. Ended up getting COVID. Was perfectly fine. They still tried to get me to get it. I was like, no, I'm good. How many people who got 2, 3, 4, however many vaccinations ended up having cancer afterwards? Maybe they already had a predisposition to cancer, and it was already there. They just didn't know about it, but this turbocized it. Or a situation where you had cancer, you knew you had cancer because you were scared, you went and got the shot, and it made it worse. So I think it's interesting that a lot of people who talked about getting the shot, get your booster, get this, get, you know, I talked about Arnold Schwarzenegger a couple weeks ago. Get your shot, you know, your fuck your freedoms, right? Remember that? And then he just had a triple bypass heart surgery. Now, mind you, not a young man. But you can't help but look at the coincidence, because then you can look at young men and young women who have died or have had heart attacks, and coincidentally, they happen to be vaccinated. So, just something to think about. But, O.J. Simpson, dead, 76, of cancer, possibly turbo cancer. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Who knows? Who cares? Fuck him. It's what he gets. Now he can go deal with the devil. And I can't help that I hope hell for some of these fuckers is just like it is in Little Nicky and Devil's shoving pineapples up his ass right now. No, just that's just me. Okay. All right, guys, that is all I have for you today. I hope you were entertained. I hope you listened, and I hope you don't leave me. Don't leave me, please. No, but seriously, guys, make sure you're following the show on social media. We are Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, True Social on the Ticker Talker, and on the Twitter X Machine at DTom_1775. And don't forget about the website, DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And you can email me at DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And guys, please make sure whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, you're following the show, you share the show, you subscribe, you do all that fun stuff. And yeah. Don't forget about our sponsors, DTom Show. Proceeds go to Tunnel to Towers and Reaper Apparel Company at ReaperApparelCo.com. Promo code DTom. Guys, oh, also, if I haven't launched you yet, Don't Tread on America TV on Rumble. Guys, have a great day, and I'll talk to you again on Sunday. Peace.